The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Texas show.
They say it takes a big man to admit he's wrong, but I say it takes an even bigger man to admit he's never wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you that bigger man, Eric Metaxas.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, my friend. Hey, how are you?
I am great.
Back from Israel.
You are.
Israel, I tell you. Literally Israel. It's an extraordinary thing. We got back very early yesterday morning, and I spent the whole day sleeping. Like recovering, I don't know what. As most people know, I spent the last week in Israel, and before I left, I was really sick.
Yes.
I got the flu.
Yeah.
I was shivering with a fever. It was horrible, actually. And then to try to pack when you feel really sick, like because you're thinking, I'm getting over it, but I'm still tired. So we went. We flew there, and it was an extraordinary experience. I want to talk about it. I also want to talk in this hour about the passing of Billy Graham 2 days ago. Mind-blowing to me. So we have a lot to talk about. What happened in Israel, well, Alvin, you know the first thing that happened?
What is
the very first thing that happened when I landed in Israel? People say stuff's going to happen.
Right.
I lost my phone.
Yes, I know that.
I lost my phone. I was so tired. You know, you wake up and you're like, who am I? Where am I? What do I do? And we go out, you know, you walk 4,000 miles to whatever to get your baggage or whatever. And there's a big sign that says, welcome to Israel. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that make a nice photo? And I reach around and I'm like, oh, where's my phone? Wait a minute. Wait, no, here it is. It's here. No, wait. Gone. I forgot it on the plane.
Oh.
So then, of course, but I was with this wonderful VIP tour, actually, these people that treated us so well, part of the Ministry of Tourism. And they made these phone calls and things. And Suzanne has Find My Phone, right? So she said, well, Eric, it's right on the plane, just as you thought. But it was the Sabbath.
Oh, no.
Shabbat.
Yeah.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom Shabbat. Nobody's moving to get anything. So I arrived there and I don't have my phone. But I figure, well, I'll get it eventually.
But wouldn't they allow you, though, to go? It wasn't.
No. They parked the plane in some Shabbat parking lot. Special graveyard where the plane is not allowed to do any work for 24 hours. And so basically, I didn't have my phone. But I figured I'll get back eventually, which I didn't and I won't, but I thought that I would. So things started out on a kind of a funky note. But I want to say that Suzanne and I have never been to Israel before. So to land there, you get on a bus and we were going from Ben-Gurion Airport to our hotels in Jerusalem. And this is what happened to me. And I have to say this was a supernatural experience, at least as far as I'm concerned. It felt supernatural to me. I can't prove it, but it's at least emotional. I very rarely get choked up. I just don't. And anyway, as the bus left the airport and we're going along toward Jerusalem, I'm looking out the window and it hits me with particular power that Jesus walked here and that he was killed here. And, you know, it doesn't sound like much saying that because you've heard it a million times in your life.
Right.
But it struck me with such visceral force that I just was really choked up. And another thing that struck me, which I don't think has ever struck me before, is that we often talk about Jesus being sinless, right?
Right.
And I thought, you know what? The fact that he's sinless is really irrelevant. It's that he was infinitely good. There's something much more powerful about the concept of infinite goodness, of self-sacrificial agape love that blows away the weak tea of sinlessness. I mean, if you are a holy God, if you are the embodiment of love, sin can't even get near that picture. So when we say, oh, he was sinless, it's a theological statement we make, which is accurate. Obviously, it's very important, but it can't compare. It's like talking about God and saying God is sinless. Well, yeah, he's way more than sinless. He is love itself. And so I guess I was thinking about the fact that Jesus, and again, it's funny because you think, well, why was I thinking this or what hit me? But it really hit me viscerally and emotionally. I'm looking out the window and I'm thinking he was here. He was really here. He walked here as a human being and he was so good. That's the part that I think should break our hearts. Hmm. Not that he was sinless, because sinlessness sounds like, man, he's kick ass. He never sinned. He just checked off every, he avoided this sin and that sin and that. Man, he's amazing. No. He was profoundly good and loving and sweet and noble and heroic. There's something really different. It's a positive definition as opposed to the negative definition of, like, he beat all these sins. You know, you kind of think there's something wrong. And I think that Christians often get that wrong. They think life is about defeating sin. It's like, no, it's about loving with the love of Jesus. Right. It's about loving Jesus. It's about loving people with the love of Jesus. When you do that, sin vanishes.
Yeah, it falls
You're not
away.
Even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that that's the biggest emotional thing that happened to me was just as we are driving out of the airport. I don't know how long we'd been on the road. I'm looking out the window at this new landscape of Israel, and I thought he was here. He was here, and this is where he died. And it just, I mean, it really hit me in a way that nothing hits me. All I can tell you is it was a gift from God to me because I don't get emotional. But that was the first thing that happened to me. And what else happened, I don't even know where to begin. Oh, my gosh. There are a number of beautiful hotels. We stayed at a very nice hotel. There's a guy named Mike Evans. I didn't know Mike Evans, but he's the head of something called the Friends of Zion. He created a museum and stuff. He's an amazing human being. I mean, I think he's probably the most connected Christian in Israel. He's been spending his entire life uniting Jews and evangelical Christians in particular. And he created a museum called the Friends of Zion Museum. It is, you know, when people say state of the art,
right?
Mind-blowing. It's kind of like the Bible, the museum of the Bible level. I mean, it's nothing that size, but it's so impressive. And Mike was our guide. He opened all kinds of doors for us. We got to spend time. We met Bibi Netanyahu.
You did.
Not to be confused with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh.
Actually, wait a second.
Yeah,
actually, wait. It's the same guy. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, it was.
You've never seen them together, have you?
We got to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, part of me couldn't care less. Like, okay, hey, how you doing? But I got to tell you, of course, it's so significant. You're sitting there in a room with a man who is, you know, it's kind of funny because if you think about it in terms of sheer numbers, it's no big deal. I mean, let's say there's 10 million people, 8 million people in Israel, right?
Right.
There's about that many people in Greece. But, you know, so if you're the mayor of New York, you're over just as many people. But when you think of the strategic significance and the global significance of Israel, it is a staggering responsibility.
Yes.
And one of the things I think I was going to mention this and I'll mention it now is that when you what you realize, people say this all the time, that it's the size of New Jersey. It's really small. And you realize that the enemies of Israel are all around, except for the Mediterranean Sea. The enemies are poised to wipe them out at any given moment. So when you're there, you do have a sense that you're in a nation that's almost in a state of war because they are constantly having to think about, you know, their enemies.
Yeah.
And
so a pundit once said that if you take a wallet and put it in the middle of a football field, the wallet is Israel and the surrounding are the enemies of Israel. That's about that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it was a comedian, but he was trying to make a very serious point. I can't remember the comedian's name, but he didn't say it to be funny. He said, look, this is what they're dealing with.
In effect, well, the thing is that Mike Evans arranged for us to take a helicopter tour. This was a big deal that we got to take a helicopter tour. And you got to effectively to see the entire nation because you're in a helicopter and, you know, there's no traffic. So we were able to see the breadth and the splendor and the tininess of the great nation of Israel. I mean, when you go up to the Golan Heights, which is in the north, and you're seeing the Syrian border, I mean, Syria, these are the enemies of Israel. And then we learned so much. We learned so much. But anyway, I want to talk about that when we come back. But it was absolutely, you know, what can I tell you? It was a huge privilege that I got to go there. So I want to tell more about that. I also want to talk about Billy Graham. I've got a story about Billy Graham.
when we come back. Our website is MetaxasTalk.com. Don't forget, folks, sign up for Metaxas Super before the price goes up. Even when the price goes up, it's cheap. But if you want to get it at $299 a month for the whole year, you got to do it in the next, like, 5 days, basically.
Sign up.
MetaxasTalk.com is our website. Metaxas Super. Check it out. We'll be right back.
We were laughing, singing songs, told the rain to go away.
Hey, folks, this is Eric Metaxas. And you know, I believe America was founded as a beacon of liberty for the world. As I write in my book, If You Can Keep It, if we are to keep this republic, we have to see it afresh and really understand what it is we're keeping. If you have a heart for this important idea, I want to extend a personal invitation for you to join me at the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series on Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the Lancaster County Convention Center. This event is sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy and reminds us of our unique heritage of liberty that was founded upon biblical principles and calls us to let our light so shine for others to see. Join me for an inspirational night that brings a powerful message of hope with inspiring media, choral performances, and me, Eric Metaxas, at the Remember America Speaker Series. Tickets and sponsorships are available at dayspringchristian.com or call 717-344-5584. Visit dayspringchristian.com. That's dayspringchristian.com.
You like freedom? I do. You like money? Well, I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right, $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by March 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the March 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
I'm just so upset. I'm having so much trouble getting to sleep, only to wake up in the middle of the night worrying all over again. I'm wearing down. There's no one I trust, no one I can open up to. But I've got to find someone I can talk to. I can't keep going on like this.
She found help, and so can you. We are Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. Our Christian counselors are all licensed, trained, and experienced, qualified and certified by the state board, but more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. We'd like to invite you to try your first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
Talking to myself and feeling old.
Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
That's Karen Carpenter. Yeah. Now, Albin, you know we're being recorded on videotape. I see a camera right there.
Yeah, I see one too.
And this is only going to get better, folks. I promise
you. Right, we're getting droids
in here. Like, if you look at these videos right now, a year from now, you're going to go, wow, that was primitive.
Yeah.
In the future,
caveman.
Albin and I are going to be wearing jetpacks, and we're going to be zipping around the studio like it's going to be like a sphere of death. Okay, so
let's talk.
We're talking about Israel. We're talking about, and by the way, I want to say again, if you want to sign up for Metaxas Super, you better do it right away. Now, if you sign up for Metaxas Super, you can listen to this on podcast with no commercials, zero commercials. However, no matter how much you pay, you're going to hear about Hillsdale. Why? Because they're a major sponsor of the show. I'm sorry. It's the best we could do. But I love Hillsdale.
We do.
So, okay,
yeah.
The reason I talk about them is because we care about them, and I only am going to promote things on this program that I feel strongly about, yeah. As you know. So I want to say that Hillsdale College is a place that I have visited. It's a place I've been, and it's very different from most American colleges. First of all, they don't allow rioting. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, rioting.
What's wrong?
Smashing stuff.
Why
looting.
Not?
Not allowed.
Oh, come on.
Well, they have these crazy rules,
where's
Albin.
Where's the fun, though?
They have these crazy rules. They believe this is like really, really old fashioned. They believe in civility.
Oh.
Respect, honor.
What?
Yeah, they believe in being honorable. How ridiculous. Can you imagine in the 21st century to talk about being honorable and civil?
No.
It's absurd.
It is.
That's Hillsdale.
Oh.
It's why we love Hillsdale. Actually, I want to read this. They have a code, that an honor code that they all live by.
Okay.
And if you break the code, they must kill you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. No, but they live by an honor code. It's voluntary. Nobody gets killed. But I think it's so beautiful, I want to read it. It says, a Hillsdale College student is honorable in conduct. All the freshmen say this and live by this. Is honorable in conduct. Now, I want to say that just talking about the concept of honor in a college setting is amazing. It's amazing, okay? Honorable in conduct, honest in word and deed, dutiful in study and service, and respectful of the rights of others. Through education, the student rises to self-government. That's the whole thing. If you want to find more about Hillsdale, go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. That's MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very good.
So in this hour, I want to kind of talk about more about what I saw in Israel during my trip. I want to talk about Billy Graham. Now, part of the whole thing that's so crazy is that we were in Israel with a number of friends, pastors. Some of you all know Greg Laurie. We had him on this program, in fact, talking about Billy Graham the other day before we knew Billy Graham had passed. We taped that with Greg Laurie. But Greg Laurie, who's the pastor of Harvest Fellowship in Orange County, California, he's become a dear friend. And his friend and my new friend, Jack Graham, who is the head of Prestonwood Baptist Church. Those are two of the pastors. There was a whole bunch of pastors that were there. And one of the people that was there also is the granddaughter of Billy Graham, Sissy Graham Lynch. And we'll have her on this program at some point. But just lovely young woman, absolutely lovely young woman. So we had a lot of laughs. The main thing to me was just to be there in this beautiful place and to have some laughs. But we did see a number of things that are so amazing. When you see the Temple Mount, now we've all read about this, we've heard about it, but until you're there, you really can't put it together. The Temple Mount, of course, is the very place where Herod built his temple, that it was where Jesus walked.
Yes.
All the events of Easter, all the events of, it's all right there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you learn this history, most people may already know this, and I knew this, but until you see it with your own eyes, you can't really comprehend it. The Temple Mount, it's right in the center of the old city of Jerusalem. It's this vast thing. It's like several football fields. It's up there. And what's right in the middle of it? Used to be the temple that the Jews would go. Jesus went there, when he was 12. He went there many other times. Well, what's there now? A big golden dome. It's called the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
It's a mosque.
Yeah.
Now, I am not a Muslim. I am a Christian.
Oh, okay.
So did you, you probably didn't know that.
Okay, now I understand what the show is
about.
So
when you look at it, you think no matter how you slice it, it's fascinating that there is a huge mosque on the very top of what used to be the holiest place in all of Judaism. Mm. It's incredible, right? Because I'm not a Muslim, it strikes me as ironic, odd, troubling, at least historically significant that there is a mosque up here.
Yes.
Mm. So when you see those kinds of things, you know, to use the cliche, history comes to life. You just think, oh, my goodness, look around. Look what is here. The wall, the second century wall, which is the temple that Herod built. Now, everybody knows Herod. Herod, they tell you how great Herod is when you're there because, like, he built all this amazing stuff. But it's kind of like Hitler would have built an amazing Berlin if he would have been able to, you know,
right,
get away with it. But he was an evil man. Hitler, obviously, and Herod, very evil. But the second temple, the temple that he built, obviously this is not the temple that Solomon built, but years later, the wall, the Western Wall, is still there. It is vast. I put some photos on Twitter before I got locked out of my phone since I can't tweet anymore. But yeah. But the bottom line is that when you look at that, the size of these the stones, and you think that this has been here for 2,200 years, Jesus looked at these stones.
Yes.
There's no way not to be moved by that. Mm. And then, of course, if you're allowed, you go to the Wailing Wall and you pray at the Wailing Wall. I had to don a yarmulke.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never worn a yarmulke in my life that I know of. But you put on a yarmulke and then you walk to this wall. And to be able to do that, I got a picture. Right. Somebody took a picture of me. But yeah. I just thought, wow. When you think of the people that have prayed at that wall over 2,000 years, very moving.
Yes.
Then there's another part you walk to where the person guiding us said that there's no doubt that this pavement here is the first century. Jesus had to have walked right here on this stone to get into the temple, blah, 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 blah. And I asked a couple of times, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because that's so hard for us in a modern America to believe that Jesus –
yes.
You know, literally walked here. So at some point, I just stepped away from my little group, got on my knees and kissed the pavement because I said, there's nothing else for me to do. This is so holy. I can't, yeah. I cannot get over this. But it was so moving to me. Then I think I mentioned we went to, we took this helicopter ride across the country. We stopped at the Sea of Galilee. And this is something that was discovered 10 years ago. I had the guy on this program about 2 years ago. There is a Father Eamon, Catholic priest, who's the head of this Catholic center. They were building a Catholic center on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is huge. But they're building something there, and they were praying that they wouldn't find any archaeological antiquities. Because as soon as you find anything, like the State of Israel swoops in, it's like, eh, you can't build anymore. We get this is like this belongs to history, whatever. Well, sure enough, they discover what is – this is only 2009. They discover – the remains, fully intact remains of a first century synagogue in Magdala. Mary Magdalene was from there. Jesus spent a ton of time there. They tell you why because they point out the different cities and whatever. So you're sitting in the ruins of this first century synagogue, and you know that Jesus was here,
yeah.
That the pavement, which is still intact, Jesus looked at this pavement. It is truly beyond belief. You cannot really get it around your head. It's too much to think that he preached there, that he spoke there, that he whatever. All of this kind of stuff is just – it's really, really overwhelming. So we were all there and it was holy. And the Catholic group that oversees that, these are holy people. They're really people that are – they understand that the only thing that matters is that Jesus was here and that he is still here. He's mm-hmm. alive, you know. So that was very, very moving. And then, as I said, we got to see so many other things. The one of the last days we were there, we got to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which now it's disputed. There's something called the Garden Tomb, and then there's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and people debate which one is the real burial site of Jesus. Oh. Blah 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 blah. But the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is, my gosh, there's a Crusader church that's 1,000 years old, built on top of what was a church built by Emperor Constantine's mother, Helen, like in 400 or even before that AD. And so it's this riot of architectural styles and things. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Folks, we're talking about my trip to Israel.
You know what I like? You said we went over to Israel and had a few laughs. I don't think that phrase was.
We had a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
We had a lot of laughs. It was a lot of fun. Hey, if you can't have laughs, don't waste your time. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
You're not so down.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
It was Jesus who first called his followers a city upon a hill, a light for all to see. Since then, John Winthrop, Abraham Lincoln, JFK, and Ronald Reagan have echoed those words for those who call America home. Join author and SRN radio host Eric Metaxas as he lifts up this message and headlines the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series, Friday, April 6th, in Lancaster, PA. This special event, sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy, reminds Americans of their unique heritage of liberty that is founded on biblical principles. Remember America brings to life the important ideas Eric captures in his book, If You Can Keep It. The Remember America Speaker Series with Eric Metaxas is Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lancaster County Convention Center. Tickets and sponsorships are available by calling 717-344-5584 or go to dayspringchristian.com. dayspringchristian.com.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about Israel. Albin, we're talking about Israel. And we're on camera.
Yes.
I'm not intimidated.
No.
Humana.
No.
Okay. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there. We went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And I could talk all day long about this. I will try not to. I'll try to keep it super brief. But anyway, you go in there and there are all these pilgrims. There are all these people there to see it. And so part of it has a very religious feel in the negative sense. Now, I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church, so I don't find this kind of stuff necessarily off-putting. But if you're an evangelical, very low church, you kind of think, what is with all the, you know, gold and this and that and the people kissing and that, you know, it's just there's something about it which is can be confusing. But it's, of course, moving to think that is it possible that Jesus really was crucified right here? I mean, they've got all of these accretions of history and there's very good reason to believe, yes, that he was, you know, that when Helen, the mother of Constantine, went there in, I guess it would have been the early 4th century, that she had churches built over all of these holy spots and on and on and on and on. But when I was in there, you go to a spot where they say this is Calvary. This is the very spot. You can kneel down. You can pray. And, you know, it's all of it is moving. I was there with a guy named Tom Mullins. He's a pastor from Florida. He said in 1983 he was there, and he said God called him to full-time ministry. And so all these years later, this is what, 35 years later, he's been in full-time ministry doing amazing things because of what happened to him in that church 35 years ago. So a lot can it can happen just because it's holy ground. But I got exhausted after all that, so I went home. and took a little bit of a nap. And Suzanne comes back. She'd been hanging out with Billy Graham's granddaughter, Sissy, and a couple of other folks. And Suzanne says, "Did you hear the news?" And I said, "What? You know, I'm waiting to hear now that, oh, our meeting with the prime minister was canceled again," or something like that. I said, what are you talking about? She says, "Billy Graham just died." And I have to tell you, I've been thinking about that for years. I said, someday this great, 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 great man is going to pass away. So the idea that I was in Israel and that it even happened really when I was in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I mean, if you look at the timeline, I thought to myself, to be in this holy place, whether it's in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or just in Israel, I thought, this is amazing. I mean, I really cannot get over it. Of course, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. And then to be there with this sweet granddaughter and many of the pastors there, Greg Laurie and Jack Graham, they knew Billy Graham very, very well. They worked with him over the years and stuff. But it was a really holy moment. And I realized that one of the dreams of my life was to meet Billy Graham. But I kind of knew I never would. And I wanted to tell that story really briefly. I was at Yale in the early 80s. And while I was at Yale, I was with the Christian group on campus. And then the second semester, I decided, man, I'm not interested anymore. I think I told this story on the radio about a year ago. But I said, I don't want to hang out with these Christians anymore. They're too something. I don't know. So I kind of backed away from the Christian world. And that second semester, somebody said, Billy Graham's coming to the campus. And I remember being in Calhoun Dining Hall and looking up and seeing Billy Graham. Now, I come from a humble working class background. We don't hang out with celebrities. Mm-hmm. So when I see an icon walk into the dining hall, followed by about 30 of these Christian students that were part of this group, I remember it took my breath away. I thought, oh, my gosh, there he is. There he is. There he is. It's Billy Graham. It's Billy Graham. You know, and he was quite young still at that point. It was 1982, I think. And I realized that if I hadn't backed away from this Christian group, I would be having dinner with Billy Graham right now. 30 people in a special fellows hall or whatever.
Couldn't you run after him and say, I want to re-up.
Yeah, I want to re-up. Right. Yeah. So I just sat there and I watched him walk in there. And I remember how it stung me then. And it stung me many times ever since, because I thought there are consequences to our decisions. If you walk away from God, it doesn't mean that God doesn't repair what the locusts and the palmer worm have eaten, to quote the scripture. I mean, God restores and redeems. But there are things when you think about Moses not getting into the promised land, you kind of think, well, that seems kind of mean.
Yeah.
Well, there are reasons for these things, you know, and so I remember that. And I think God does that in a way to bless us, to remind us of certain things. And of course, you know, the goal of life is not meeting Billy Graham. The goal of life is loving Jesus. But I'll just never forget that moment. It has a poignancy for me. And as the years have passed, I've gotten to know his kids, now his grandkids. But I never met him. And I knew some years ago, it's like one of these things where I feel like the Lord spoke it to me. It wasn't, you know, like a sentence, but it was like I kind of had a knowing, like, I'm not going to get to meet him. That what I did back then has consequences, and that there's something valuable about that in my life. But I will never forget the poignance of staring across the room at this man that I revered. Even as I'd walked away from this Christian fellowship, I just thought, wow, there he is. And I could be having dinner with him right now. You know, like, it's that crazy thing.
Yeah.
And all these years later, we're talking 35, 36 years later to have him pass away. But I sort of have made peace with that. I just thought that, you know, in God's economy.
I know this sounds silly, but you'll meet him in heaven.
Yeah, it doesn't sound silly. It's exactly – that's the whole point, isn't it? That's the whole point is that he didn't really die.
Right.
He walked into the presence of the one whose good news he's been talking about for over seven decades.
That's right. He said that about himself and his own death.
It's incredible. Now, what happens to the Christian church with the passing of Billy Graham –
yes.
We don't know. I kind of wonder if God will raise up a generation of evangelists. There's a lot there. Anyway, we're going to be right back. We are talking about Israel, about Billy Graham. This is hour one of Friday, the 23rd of February on the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, can I talk to you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I don't want you just to say that.
No, I'm not just saying that. Please.
I want you to take off. You're not my employee right now. Okay. You're just a friend. Can I talk to you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Okay. Relief Factor is something that I take for pain, okay? I have low-level pain. I'm not talking about searing, life-changing, horrible pain. Although, you know what? Now that I mention it, if you have low-level pain, like a 2 or a 3 on the scale of 1 to 10, I think it does change your life because you just do things differently. You're, you know, so I take Relief Factor and I'm recommending it to my audience because if you're just taking it for granted that this is your new life, I would say don't. Relief Factor, these are botanicals. It's not like something toxic like Advil or whatever that's going to mess your liver if you mess up your liver if you take it over and over and over again. You can take this like crazy and it's totally safe. ReliefFactor.com is the website, ReliefFactor.com. Get the quick start pack for $19.95. Within 3 weeks, you will know whether this works. I recommend it, folks. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission, in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians. And it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 28th. Come in today and take advantage of 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing offers available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
For young people who want to make the most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College in New York City. At Summer Academy, inquisitive high schoolers learn how the great ideas of Western civilization apply to journalism, business, economics, and leadership, all from a biblical worldview. Plus, they'll enjoy world-famous landmarks and museums. One student called it the learning experience of a lifetime. To learn more, Google the King's College Summer Academy. That's the King's College Summer Academy.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. Reputation.com can protect your good name. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. Call 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's 6 industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, it's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yay!
I'm back from Israel.
I know.
I survived.
I should have my slide whistle because it's Friday.
It's Friday. I made it back. And we were just talking about the great, 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 great Billy Graham.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
And just we should celebrate his life. He's not dead, folks. He's not dead.
1991, he was in the Great Lawn here in New York City.
I was there. Johnny Cash performed.
Yes.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, it was wonderful. 250,000 people were there.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I was there. You were there.
I was there. I did a lot of vandalism at the time. That's not true.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. When Billy Graham comes to a place, like there's no vandalism.
No, I know.
Right?
The park was all cleaned up afterwards. Yeah. I noted that too.
Yeah, it was freshly sodded by Christians.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk a couple things. First of all, This Monday, we have the first Socrates in the City. We've done it a long time. If you're in New York, February 26th, I know there's still seats. It is Gabrielle Kubi. You might not know about her, but oh boy.
Oh boy.
You're going to find out.
She's been a guest
on this program. Gabrielle Kubi, that's this coming Monday. Tuesday at the crack of dawn, you and I fly to Nashville.
Yes.
We're going to do the show from Nashville all the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to interview all kinds of people. I'm interviewing Dennis Quaid on the big stage.
That's right.
I'm interviewing Dennis Prager.
Yes.
I'm interviewing the biggest celebrity of all, Mike Lindell of MyPillow.
That's right, baby.
Mike Lindell. He's up there with Richard Burton, Sly Stallone. He's just one of those A-list.
Yeah,
Mike Lindell. Yeah. MyPillow has changed the lives of countless Americans. We're going to interview him. Actually, he has a really funny and interesting story, so I can't – I'm joking, but we're going to have fun with him.
And who invented the pocket fisherman? That guy.
No, we're not going to interview him. That's a different guy. That's a different guy. Yeah, different guy. Okay. But that's next week. We're going to be at NRB in Nashville. That's going to be fun. And then, by the way, if you can't come to Socrates in the City this coming Monday, on March 20th, we're doing a Socrates in the City with the great Greg Thornberry. He has a brand new book out on the life of Larry Norman. That is going to be fun. I can't wait for that. So you can sign up for that. And I guess I want to say, too, if you are unaware of this, as you know, our website is metaxastalk.com. But I have my own personal website called ericmetaxas.com. If you sign up for the emails from ericmetaxas.com, you get all kinds of stuff that you can't get on the radio program. So I want to recommend it to people because a lot of people don't even know you can sign up for that. And I'm going to post, Albin, I think I told you about this earlier. This was really depressing.
Yes.
Somebody from Yahoo News wanted to do a profile on me.
Yeah.
And you always get nervous because you're thinking, a profile? What is a profile? I think it turns out to be a hit job is what it is. But the person who did it didn't mean to do a hit job. I think he has different views. I think he's very anti-Trump. And I think that he talked to a lot of people that were mortified that I suggested people should vote for Trump. And he talked to those people and decided it was time to do a profile on Eric Metaxas. And so he sent me these questions, which were undeniably hostile. Mm. Now, I don't think he's an evil person. He's a Christian. But I think that they came across to me as really hostile. It's kind of like questions like, so when did you stop beating your wife?
Right. Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Or when did you stop treating your wife like a dog? You know, like something like that. Like, how do you respond to a question like that? And a lot of the questions were kind of like that. In other words, the assumptions baked into the question were so hostile. I thought, gee whiz. Like, so I wrote a very, very long response to his because I thought, let me try to explain myself rather than, do it on the phone or something like that. So anyway, I wrote like literally 5,500 words, which is a huge amount. But I thought, let me just, say what I have to say on this subject. But I was kind of sick while I was writing it, like it was during the flu and all this different stuff. And then I flew to Israel and whatever. And then he had some follow up questions which I thought were more hostile. Anyway, finally this morning, he posted it at Yahoo News. And I know he doesn't think of it this way, but it's to my mind, definitely like the classic hit job. I mean, if I read it, I would hate Eric Metaxas. Like you have to, right?
Yeah.
The only good news.
I read it. And
you hate me.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
You can't even look me in the eye.
I can't.
But then the only good thing that comes out of it is that he posted the full Q&A with me. In other words, his profile, I think, is extremely subjective. He's kind of saying things that it just feels like subjective observations. But I'll post my actual Q&A with him, which I think gives you at least more context.
Yes.
I can't undo the damage of the photo that he posted.
Right.
A photo of me at the March for Life with the wind blowing and ugly colors in the background. And, makes me look like some kind of a fascist.
Yes, exactly.
So it was
kind of, but
I thought to myself, to me, in a way, maybe it's a badge of honor that when you say things, when you say what you believe, people are going to disagree and they're going to come after you. And I only ask those who do see things my way, do me a favor and pray for me because it is disconcerting when people misunderstand you. If you're thin-skinned the way I think I am, you want everybody to love you and understand you. And, and I think what struck me as the funniest of what he said in the piece is that he says that when he read my responses, it was like entering a funhouse mirror kind of, because in a way it was like he was saying, how could a guy this smart and funny be so stupid? Like, that's kind of like the subtext of what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. Right? He almost did write that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, did it ever strike you that maybe I'm not stupid? Maybe I have something to say? Maybe you should examine your own assumptions? And I think that's what I try to do in my responses to him, is to try to get him and the people reading it, can you examine your own assumptions?
Right.
Isn't it possible that you're assuming some things? And so – I don't know. Are we out of time in this segment? Do we have another minute? Okay. So anyway, I guess that's what I was trying to do. And I was trying to say, so when people say things like, we think Trump is the second coming of Hitler or whatever,
right.
I think, did it ever occur to you that maybe Hillary Clinton is closer to the second coming of Hitler?
Or that maybe it's not true. People always say that about presidents they don't like. I remember they said that about George Bush. Oh, he's Hitler. They said about Reagan. They said about everybody.
It's, Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I mean, when we all know it's Janet Reno.
But actually,
it's so funny because you just read it and you realize that we're living in extremely divided times. That this person, I think he thought he wrote a fair piece, but I think it's the definition of a hit job. I almost don't want people to read it because it's so negative, but I'll post the Q&A that we had and people can, they'll have a few laughs. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. This is Eric Metaxas, and I believe America was founded as a beacon of liberty for the world. As I write in my book, If You Can Keep It, if we are to keep this republic, we have to see it afresh and really understand what it is we're keeping. If you have a heart for this important idea, I want to extend a personal invitation for you to join me at the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series on Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the Lancaster County Convention Center. This event is sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy and reminds us of our unique heritage of liberty that was founded upon biblical principles and calls us to let our light so shine for others to see. Join me for an inspirational night that brings a powerful message of hope with inspiring media, choral performances, and me, Eric Metaxas, at the Remember America Speaker Series. Tickets and sponsorships are available at dayspringchristian.com or call 717-344-5584. Visit dayspringchristian.com. That's dayspringchristian.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're on camera.
Yeah. You got to love any song that begins with a woo.
Yeah. That's Larry Norman. If you want to hear more about Larry Norman, come to the March 20th Socrates in the City event.
That's a Friday song.
Okay. Now, we were just talking about the Yahoo hit piece on Eric Metaxas and your former friend Eric Metaxas. Well, what I was going to say, what I find funny, too, is that Billy Graham, when he passed away, there was an article written by Jonathan Merritt in the New York Times, saying that Billy Graham was like the last like pre-political or non-political person or something like that. And I just thought that is the biggest nonsense I have ever read. The only thing that makes everybody political now is that people like Jonathan Merritt and John Ward, who wrote the Yahoo piece, are insisting that unless you despise this president, you're political.
Right.
You're a fascist. And I thought to myself, wait a second. Billy Graham, what made him amazing was that no matter who was the president of the United States, he respected the office.
Mm-hmm.
He respected the office. That's the point. And so the idea that he was not political, that's kind of the point, is that in this day and age, if I say I respect the office of the presidency, right? In other words, no matter what you think of President Trump, if you respect the office, on some level, you're calling Trump higher by respecting the office. But we've thrown caution to the wind, and people no longer respect the office. In fact, in the piece that I in the Q&A, which I will post at some point, I refer to the fact that I was there in 1998, right after the Lewinsky like bombshell. Okay. When every father of a 22-year-old girl wanted to throw a rock at the big, ugly head of this sexual swine named Bill Clinton, okay? Mm-hmm. Just that he took advantage of an intern in the Oval Office, right? But nobody did that. Everybody sat in the room as he walked into the room, and they applauded the office of the presidency. There was civility. Even though you wanted to throw an orange juice glass at his head, you didn't. In this day and age, it's as if those who don't throw something at the president of the United States are thought to be political.
Well, it's as if America has been fundamentally transformed. I don't.
By somebody named President Obama.
Yeah, it's fundamental.
Yeah,
don't know.
I mean, again, so yeah, but that's because we're racist, Alvin. Don't you understand? To even
course.
Think that, you must be racist.
I better look in the mirror.
So we're living in really weird times.
Yes,
and
we are.
And I hope that we can proceed with equanimity.
We can.
And with some, with a positive attitude through this. But it's a tough time in America right
it
now
is.
When you're being accused of being political if you don't vocally volubly despise the president of the United States every 20 minutes. And I have to say there's something very unhealthy about a culture. That's not required of people in a free society. In a free society, you don't have to constantly prove your bona fides by saying, I hate Trump. Yes, but I hate Trump. If you don't say that, people can just sort of assume you're a nice person. You shouldn't have to prove it every 5 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Lucky for the audience, we're out of time. Lucky you. Well, when we come back, I'm talking to John Zmirak, the great John Zmirak, and then we're going to have a great weekend.
Oh, we are.
God bless you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.